The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Baba Batra. This Masechet, the longest Masechet in Shas, page-wise, has been dedicated by our good friend and pioneer student in the Daf Yomi Shi'ur, Adam Azrak Hashem Yishmeru V'chayehu, for the Hatzlacha of his dear children, that they should grow up to give him much nahat, they should have chokhmah, binah, vada'at, and be'ezrat Hashem, they should be zuche in the right time to the proper zivugim, b'parnasa, osher v'chavod, me'ata v'ad olam, to him and his wife and his entire family. Amen. Daf Yud Bet, today daf is being studied in Nishmat Avraham ben Esther, v'hashem t'nihenu b'gan Eden. Amen. We begin today's daf on Yud Aleph Amud Bet, and we are starting five lines from the bottom. Amar Mor, Hayasatum ubikesh lefotcho. A person, let's say, had a hatser, because he lives in the hatser, and he has his wall of the hatser, and there was an opening to a mavui, to the alley, and he closed that, he closed the door, he sealed it up. So now he wants to reopen it so he can have access into that side of the mavui. And b'nei mavui ma'akevim alav. So the people of the mavui cannot stop him, because since there was a door over there, and since he had rights and access to the mavui, he doesn't lose those rights. Just because he sealed up the door doesn't mean that he loses his access rights if he wants to open the door again. Gemara gives a condition. Amar Rava lo shanu ela shelo paratz et pitzimav. This is only talking about where he kept the doorposts, which is he sealed up the door, but the doorposts are still there. There is a sign of a door, so that shows he's coming back. He doesn't want to give up his rights. Aval paratz et pitzimav. However, if he knocked down the posts, which is he totally took down the whole entire structure, and he took down the lentil also, the mashkof and the mezuzot, the two side posts and the top post, if he took them down, then already the people of the mavui can have a claim against him. Say, listen, you gave up your rights. Once you already you dismantled the door, so now already you sealed it up, so you lost your rights. So it all makes a difference if he took down the posts or not. I have a braita that supports what you just said. Bayit satum. If you have, let's say, a house, and it has a door that opens up in front of the chatzer. If you remember, we learned earlier on yesterday's daf that if a person has a house, when they divide the chatzer up, he gets four amot in front of his house, because that's the loading and unloading area. So Gemara says, Bayit satum. If, let's say, they sealed up the door, yesh lo dalet amot. He still gets four amot, because bottom line, there was a door over there. Even though they sealed it up, he doesn't lose his rights for the four amot. However, paratzet pitzimav. But if he took away the post when he sealed up the door, then ein lo dalet amot. Then already you see he loses the dalet amot, because then already it shows that he's sealing it up for good. Comes the Gemara after the parentheses. Bayit satum. Similarly, if you have, let's say, a house, and the door is sealed up, ein o mitameh kol sibibav. It does not mitameh all around. We have a rule like this. We have a grave. The rabbis made a gizra on a kevet. It's metameh four amot around the grave. They did that because they didn't want kohanim to be lackadaisical and come next to the kevet. And by mistake, they're going to ma'ahil. They're going to roof themselves over the oil, over the kevet. They're going to become tameh. So they made a rule: a kevet is metameh four amot around. However, if you have a mit in a house, the law is the tum'ah is of course in the house itself, and also by the door, because that's where the mit eventually is going to leave. So by the door, that's where the tum'ah is. So the deal is like this: if I have a house, and there was a door, and the door was sealed up, so long as the mezuzot and the mashkof are still there, it's a deal of a house. And therefore the tum'ah is only by the entrance, only by the petah. That's where the tum'ah is going to come out. It's not metameh around the four amot rule. However, but once already you sealed up the door and you took down the mezuzot and the mashkof, now it's a deal like a grave. Now it's like a grave, and therefore four amot around the whole area is going to become tameh. Look at Rashi, three lines down. Paratz petzima v'areu kekever v'achamim timu etzevot akever dalet amot. The rabbis put tum'ah around the kever four amot kedei shelo yikrebu ose taharot. So the people that are involved in taharot ad the kever v'yahilu v'lavedata. We don't want them to go over the kever without them realizing. So they made a gezerah of four amot around it. Amar Abba Bar Bar Hanan Amar Yohanan. You have, let's say, a mavui, an alley, and it's open to a different city. The people use it to access, like a shortcut, let's say, to walk through the alley in order to access the next city. So now the people in one city, they want to close up the Mavui, to stop the access from the people walking through the Mavui to get to the next city. The city that uses it as access, they can protest. Because they had rights. You cannot take away our rights. We were using this as a shortcut. You have no right to close up the Mavui. Not only if that's the only road. For sure, if that's the only road and that's the only access, for sure they're able to protest. Even if there is alternate routes, they still can protest and stop them. Mishum de Rav Yehuda Amar Rav de Amar Metzar She'aziku Bo Rabim Asur Lekalkelo. A road that the Rabim have a hazaka on, that they have rights to, so you're not allowed to destroy it. So since they had rights to this Mavui to get to their other city, you cannot come along now and destroy it. Rashi says, again, they use the Mavui as a shortcut to get to their city. Okay, skip the parentheses. Amar Avanan, Amar Shemuel, Mevuot Mfudlashot, Drishut Rabim. Okay, same case. You have Mevuot that are opened up to the Mfudlashot. These are cases where the alleys are open to the Drishut Rabim. You have an alley, and then there's a Drishut Rabim, you know, the people walking in the public domain. Now they want to put doors on the Mavui, so the people of the Reshut Rabim will not walk in these alleys. The people of the Reshut Rabim, they're able to be ma'akev. Why? Because they use that Mavui as well. Because sometimes when the Reshut Rabim gets overcrowded, the people, they populate into the Mavui itself. They end up going into the Mavui. So that's like their usage as well. So you can't put doors on the Mavui, you're going to take away our space. Now, Savur Mineh, what I thought to say in the beginning, Hani Mili Bidalin Amor, Kedrebi Zira. They thought could be that this is only talking about you can't put doors in the four Amot that are close to the Reshut Rabim. You have the Reshut Rabim and you have a Mavui. So in the first four Amot of the Mavui, then we thought maybe you can't put doors. Why? Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Bizer Amar Rav Nachman, Dalin Amot Asimuchot Reshut Rabim Keshut Rabim Damyan. Four Amot close to the Reshut Rabim has the din of Reshut Rabim. So it could be just the first four Amot where the Mavui and the Reshut Rabim come close to each other when they intersect. So then I'll say maybe the Reshut Rabim could stop them from putting the doors there because that's considered their area. Gemara says Velohi, but that's not so. Hatam Le'inyan Tum'ah. He only said that Le'inyan, the laws of Tum'ah. We have a law of Tum'ah that says, Safek Tum'ah B'Reshut Rabim Sefekot Tahor. If you have a Safek in the Reshut Rabim regarding a law of Tum'ah or not, you go Lakil, you say Tahor. Safek Tum'ah B'Reshut Yahid Sefekot Tameh. So for the laws of Tum'ah, what's considered Reshut Rabim, not only the actual public thoroughfare, but if there's an alley, so four amot within the alley is considered Reshut Rabim as well, that if you have Tum'ah over there, Sefeko is going to be Tahor. But over here, Zimnin de Dachke b'nei Reshut Rabim v'ayle Tuba. Sometimes the Reshut Rabim, when there's overcrowded in the Reshut Rabim, they actually enter the Mavui well into it. And therefore, even past four amot, they can stop the b'nei Mavui from putting doors over there. So the deen is, again, they cannot put doors without the permission of the Reshut Rabim, or more correctly, they can protest it because they use that alley, not only the first problem, but even deep into it. Gemara says, a quote from the Mishnah, "Velo et hasadeh ad sheyeh ba tish'a kabin, lazev tish'a kabin lazev." So we said, you have a field, and now it's partners, and one partner wants to force the other partner now to split up the field. So the deen is, they have to have a certain amount that's worth it for them to work the field. So the Gemara's deen was, Mishnah's deen was, as long as there's 9 kabin for each partner, so then they could force a division. Okay, that was the case of the Mishnah. And the Biuda, if you remember the Mishnah, said it was half that shi'ud. 9 half kabin shi'urim. So that was the shi'ud. So comes the Gemara and says, Vela pedike. There's no argument. Even though one rabbi said, one measurement, and one rabbi said half that measurement, they're not arguing. How is that so? Mor ki atre, or mor ki atre. Each one is going according to his place, which means in the place of Tarakama, the land wasn't so good. And therefore, it wasn't worth it to toil unless it would produce 9 kebin. Whereas according to where the Biuda was, the land was very fertile. And therefore, it was worth it to toil even on 9 half kebin. Okay? So that all depends on the area that they were. Comes Gibran and says, Bebavel, my, what about in Bavel? In Bavel, the land wasn't so good. And even Tet Kabin is not worth it to toil. So what's the shi'ur that each one of the partners has to get? What's the din in Bavel? So Amar of Yosef, Beradu Yoma. Okay, let's get the words of it. Beradu Yoma means a certain size of land that there'll be enough to plow for one day's work. That means if you hire a worker, he'll work for one day and do the plowing. That's how much, if there's enough land for that amount, so then you divide it. The way they used to do it, they used to hire the workers with the plows, with the oxen that used to do the plowing by the day. If it's going to be less than a day, so then they're going to lose half a day's work. They don't hire them by half the day. So it's got to be enough where you're leaving them a parcel of land where you could hire the workers to come along and plow for at least one day's work. So the Gemara is going to explain what that means. My beradu yoma. What does it mean exactly to plow for one day? Iyoma zara'a. Let's give an introduction before this. In the olden days, they used to have plowing at two times of the year. They used to have the plowing right after they used to cut the wheat. They used to plow the ground, prepare it for the next season. They used to plow it immediately. And then, right before the actual planting, the seeding, they would actually plow it a second time. So there was two times. So the Gemara now wants to know, Iyoma zara'a, if we're talking about over here, that it's the size of a ground over here, size of a land, that you can plow it one day at the time of the zira'a, that's at the time of the seeding, that's when the ground is soft already. That it's a size land that can be plowed at the time of the seeding, and that's what it means for one day. That's what you're talking about. Today yoma cheraba lo have. So then, at the time of the harisha of the katsir, at the time that you are going to do the first plowing, so the deen is the karka is going to be very hot, and therefore, how are you going to hire workers for that time? Because since it's more than one day's work. Over there, take a day and a half. So therefore, you're not going to be able to... But if you're talking about one day's size for the ziri'ah, it's going to be more than one day at the time of the harishav de katsir. It's going to be more. It's going to be 1.5 days. And if at the time of, it'll be one day for the time of the ziri'ah at the time of the seeding. Good, because the ground is soft, takes one day. But the first plowing that's going to be done is going to take more. So therefore, such a size of land is not going to be beneficial to make a division. And then we go the other way. So again, if it's talking about the size of it is at the time of the seeding, today yoma cheraba lo ave. At the time of the first plowing, it's not going to be 2 days. It'll be like more like 1.5. And therefore, it won't be a fair split. Look at Rashi. Today yoma cheraba lo ave. Kulama b'shat anir. The time of the plowing, it doesn't have enough for 2 days. But it has more than 1 day. So how are you going to divide it? Now, if you're going to tell me something about the size of a field at the time that takes the plow, at the time of the first plowing, then at the time of the actual seeding, it's not going to be even 1 day's worth. If you're plowing it, a size for that size, so then already, once you plow it once, when you get to the second plowing, it doesn't even take a day to plow it. So therefore, how are you going to divide it equally? That's the Gemara's question. So Gemara answers, I can explain it's talking about where it's the size of field that it takes to plow for 1 day at the time of the first plowing. And then at the time of the seeding, the custom was to plow it and replow it. They would plow it twice. So therefore, it would take a full day as well. So therefore, again, a size of field that takes at the time of the first plowing, okay, whatever size that is, for a full day's work, and then Your question was, yeah, but when you're going to get to the time of the second plowing, it doesn't even take a day. So you're not going to hire workers. No, you can't get workers to half a day's work. No, we're talking about it with the customers. They plow it twice at that time. So they plow it twice, so it'll fill up the time. Or I could tell you that it's talking about Yomad de Zara'a, the size of it, what the field is at the time of the second plowing, at the time of the seeding. And your question was that the first time is going to be a day and a half. So the Gemara says, Bahadure, Bahadure. It's talking about where it's like a rocky area, so it'll take longer. So therefore, even if so, the first round, it'll take 2 days as well. Bahadure, it's Eretz Kashe. And there's ups and downs and things like that. So therefore, so therefore, it's going to be equally difficult. So again, Ibay Tamira de Zara'a, it's talking about Bet Harishat Yom Tamir Ziri'a. Oh, so you asked the question at the time of the Harishat, it's not going to be 2 days. It's not going to be 2 days. So we said Bahadure, Kaka Kashe. Okay, so Big Torah. So therefore, it'll be the same. Good. Right, which means a size of a field that is will take 1 day at the time of the Zera, will take 2 days at the time of the Harisha, and therefore you can divide it equally. Okay, Davla, now we're talking about a well of Shutafim that's in the field. So the question is, how much you want to divide the field? So how much does each one have to get in order to make a fair division? Amar Rav Nachman, Bedalu Yoma. Bedalu Yoma, how much to hire a guy for the day in order to draw water from the well and give water to the field? Bedalu Yoma, enough water where you can draw for the day and hire the workers. Now she says, Davla, im yesh lem bor shemenu mashkin sadeh, bedalu yoma ad shiye bo kede lashkot sadeh kede peolat yom lazeh, okte peolat yom lazeh mishum schal poel. Right? So you pay a worker by the day. So if you have divided equally. Paradesa, okay, when it comes to an orchard, you're dividing an orchard. Amar Abu Dishmuel. Abu Dishmuel said, bat sheloshet kabin. So the shiur of division is 3 kav. Okay, 3 kav is actually 1,250 amot square. Each one gets that shiur, that's the division. Tanya Name Achim of Brighton, the supporter, Salman, Havero, Brighton's his friend. Menet Bekerem Ani Mochelech. I'm going to sell you a parcel of land in the vineyard. Sumcho Sumer Lo Yifchot Megdim Kabin. Again, Sumcho says the minimum amount is 3 kabin, because that becomes worth it. Amar Rabbi Yosei, En Elu Ela Devre Nevi'ut. He says, these words that you said are nothing but a prophecy. Which means, where are you getting this from? That she said, Tosfot says, Lo Leshevach Kamar. He wasn't praising him and saying, oh, it's a prophecy. He's like, where are you getting this from? Where did you make this arbitrary number that the Shi'ud is 3 se'ah? Where did that come from? 3 kabin. Where did that come from? So Gemara says, Bebavel Mai. In Bavel, right, well, that's what Tosfot learns. Another way of learning is, they say, it must be a prophecy because you're not giving a reason to your ruling. So it must be you heard it from your rabbi, who heard it from his rabbi, and you're bringing it all the way down. Okay, because otherwise it's prophecy. Otherwise, where are you getting such a shi'ud? That Gemara says, Bebavel Mai. In Bavel, where the land is not so good, what's the shi'ud of division? Amarava. Barkansa, Gasna, Barkasna, Tlat Atziata Bene Teresar Gufne. 3 rows in the vineyard, and each row has 12 vines in the row. Kihechi Derafik Gabra Beyoma, which is the amount of space where a person would, let's say, hoe the field in 1 day's time. Amar of Avdimi, Demin Haifa. From the day that the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, prophecy was taken away from the prophets, and was given to the Hachamim. So the Gemara says, "Atu Hacham lav Naviu." What do you mean? Is a Hacham not a Navi? So it was given to the Hachamim. As if Hachamim are not prophets. What do you mean? Hachamim could also be prophets. So what do you mean? It was taken away from the Naviim and given to the Hachamim. What do you mean? Hacham cannot be a prophet? Even though the prophecy was taken from the Nevi'im that were not Hakamim, it seems you can have a Nevi that's not a Hakam, even though the prophecy was taken from those type of Nevi'im, from the Nevi'im that were Hakamim, It was not taken away. Look at the bottom Rashi. Haki kamar afapish nitla min hanevi'im she'enam hakamim min hakamim lo nitla. Okay, now Gemara explains. Amar amemor v'hakam adif min avi. Hakam is even greater on a higher level than a prophet. She'emar v'navi levav chokma, and the prophet has the heart of a hakam. Mi nitle b'mi? Who are you comparing to? Avi omer katan nitle b'gadol. You're comparing the small one to the big one. You're saying the prophet has the heart of a hakam. Meaning the prophet must be lower than the hakam. So that's what it means when it says hakam adif min navi. Good? Now, this stam, how do you have a prophet that's not a hakam? That's what comes out. In the times of the Beit HaMikdash, you had a prophecy. But after the Beit HaMikdash, the prophecy was taken away from those Nevi'im and given to the Hakamim. That means before, you had Nevi'im that were not Hakamim. How does that work over here? It says, in the Gemara Nedarim, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is only Mashle Shekinah, the Gibor, and Ashir, and a Hakam. He has to be a Hakam to be a prophet. So he says, Shei Gemara Nedarim is talking about Nivu'ah Bedo Hefsik. That's a constant prophecy. If you want to have a constant Nivu'ah, so it's got to be a Hakam. Over here it's talking about a prophecy of a zman, like a certain prophecy, a one-time prophecy, or things like that. Even if a person does not have, let's say, the chokhmah, he'll have it. As long as he's a hasid, does not necessarily have to be a hakam. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, I'll prove to you that the hakamim still have prophecy, even after the Beit HaMikdash. The Amar Gavra Rabba Milta, a big rabbi says a halakha, let's say, or a chadush, ומתאמרם משמה דגמרא רבא אחרינה כמתי. And that statement is being said by another rabbi, the same exact חדוש. So these two rabbis, they end up saying the same thing. So which means, how did this rabbi understand what the other rabbi said without even him knowing him, without even conversing with him? And that must be, he has a certain type of prophecy that he's able to come to the same conclusion as the other rabbi. These two rabbis are saying the same חדוש without having a connection with each other. Amar Rava, why is that so difficult? Maybe they're both from the same mazal, and therefore they have the same thinking. That's the point. Maybe their brains think the same way. And if they think the same way, that's why they came out to the same. Why is that a prophecy? So one rabbi said the same thing as a previous rabbi. That's no prophecy. That's no prophecy, exactly. A big rabbi says a statement. Bar Yosef Kibate, and they quote it in the name of Rabbi Akiva Bar Yosef, like him. That means he's mechavet to the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. They have to say that's a prophecy, because you're not going to say that they had the same thinking, because Rabbi Akiva was the Gadol Ador. They didn't kids that have the same way of thinking. Rabbi Akiva was the greatest rabbi of his time. So therefore, when a rabbi says halakha, they come along and say, hey, Rabbi Akiva said the same thing like you. Well, so you see the prophecy is still, the Hakim still have prophecies. So Amar Rav Asher, Umay Kusha, what's the question? Dilma leha milta bar mazal. For that one halakha, he has the same thinking pattern as Rav. We're not saying he's equal to Rabbi Akiva in brain power. But when he said that halakha, could be in that when that halakha, he thinks like Rabbi Akiva. So therefore, you have no da'ayah that is given to the prophecy still applies to the hakamim. Ela Amar Rav Asher, teda adamar gavra leha milta. A big rabbi says halakha. ומתאמרה להלכה למשה מסיני כבתי. And then they say, oh, what you said is halakha למשה מסיני. It's actually halakha that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. How did Rabbi figure out that? And it must be because he still has a certain sort of prophecy. The Gemara says, who told you? Maybe it's a good guess. ודילמה כסומה בערובה. Maybe it's like a blind man in a skylight, which means the blind guy, he guessed. Basically, he guessed it. Right? It's like a blind guy that finds the door. He can't see. It's a dark place. He found it. So the Gemara said, maybe he guessed it. So he goes, what do you mean? I mean, guess it. When the rabbis say the halachot, they give reasons. So you can't say it was just a lucky guess. Must be they gave logic to their statements. Oh, so therefore must be when a rabbi says a halakha and they find out it's really was halakha Moshe Sinai. So from there you see the full of prophecy did not leave the hachamim. Amar Rabbi Yohanan miyom shacharev et hamikdash nitla nevuah min hanevi'im v'nitna l'shotim v'latinokot. The Gemara says that since the time of the Beit HaMikdash destruction, prophecy was taken away from the prophets and given to the fools, to the imbeciles, and the tinokot, and the children. The shotim, where do you see it was given to the fools, to the crazy people? The shotim, where do you see that? Ki ha demor ba Rav Asher. The story of Mor ba Rav Asher. The hava ka'e beristeka de mechoza. He was in the marketplace, in the public domain, in mechoza. Who's this? This is Rav Asher. Shama'el ahu shoteh de ka'amar. He heard a certain shoteh make a premonition. And he said, Resh metifta de malik me matam machseya, the new Rosh Hashiva that's going to be in matam machseya, Tibiyomi Hatim, signs his name as Tibiyomi. He's going to sign his name Tibiyomi. Tibiyomi is like Tov Yomi. His day is good. Amar, man Hatim Tibiyomi Rabbanan. He says, who signs his name Tibiyomi from the rabbis? Ana, I do that. Shma'amina, Lididi Kaimali Shita Sha'ata, must be my time is here. My time to become the Rosh Hashiva has arrived. Kam ata. So he got up, he went to Mahta Machsaya, he went to the place. Ada ata, when he got there, Imnu Rabbanan Li'utveil Rav Achamed Difte Beresha. They wanted to appoint Rav Achamed Difte to be the Rosh Hashiva. Kevan Shema'ed ata. When they heard that Rav Asher came to town, Shadur Zugad Rabbanan Li'gabel Imnuchim. And they sent a pair of rabbis to him in order to coronate him as the Rosh Hashiva. Ekveh, he delayed them. He didn't accept them yet. He delayed them. Hadar Shadur Zugad Rabbanan Achanin. They sent another emissary of Hakamim to appoint them. Ekveh, he kept them by him also. So there's two sets. Gabeh, Ademadu Be'asara. Until there were 10 people, 10 rabbis that were there. Kivan Demadu Be'asara. Once there was 10 people there, Patachu Vetanah, he opened up and said, Derasha Vedarashe, and gave a derash. Lefi She'en Potrin Bechala. Because when you give a shi'ur, you don't give the shi'ur less than 10, which means that makes him the Rosh Hashiva. By saying a shi'ur in front of 10 already, now already, that is like official coronation. Which means when the derashah of the Rosh Hashiva, that's to be at least 10 people. Kari Rav Acha Anafshe. So Rav Acha, he was supposed to be the Rosh Hashiva until Rav Asher came. So Rav Acha said, Kol amiri'im lo, lo b'meira metimim lo. That any time something bad happens to a person, and his luck starts to get bad, it's not so fair that it changes to become good. Kol amitimim lo, and somebody that they're doing good to him, lo b'meira miri'im lo. It's not so fair that they do bad to him. Which means, he felt that once already they knocked me out, I'm going to be knocked out. I'm never going to get this position. He felt, once already you see the person's luck is bad, usually it doesn't get good so fast. So therefore, once already they pushed me out of the position of the Rosh Hashiva, he didn't expect yet that this job was going to come back to him that fast. So comes Gemara and says, Tinoket my way, do you see that the children have prophecy? Tinoket my ikiha debat Rav Chizda, the daughter of Rav Chizda, hava yatva bichnafe de'avu. She was sitting on her father's lap. Okay. Avu yatve kame Rabba v'Rami Barhama. Two rabbis walked by, Rabba and Rami Barhama. Amar le, so the father says, Man minayu ba'it. Which one do you want as a husband? Amra le tarvayu. I want both of them. Amar Rabba v'ana batra. So Rabba said, and I want to be the last one. And what happened? That's exactly what happened. She ended up marrying both. She married the first rabbi, Rami Barhama, and he died. And then she ended up marrying Rava. So you see that the prophecy is given to the kids as well. So that they get a certain prophecy. Kavu Gevoran says, Amar Rav Avdimi, the Min Haifa, Kodem Shiyochal, Adam, the Yishte, before a person eats or drinks, Yesh Do Shte Lebabot. He has literally two hearts. Let's see what that means. Lehal Sheochev Shote, after he eats and drinks, En lo ela lev echad. He only has one heart. Shnei emar, ish nevuv yelabib. What is nevuv? Uchtiv nevuv luchot. When the luchot were given, they were hollow. They were the words were chiseled through in and out. Metargemin an halil luhim. the stones of the Luchot were hollow. So back to the story of it, when it says Ish Nevuv Yilaviv, after a person eats, he becomes hollow. Now, what is the connotation of this Gemara? Which means, before he eats, he doesn't have the ability to make decisions, because he's hungry. However, after he eats and drinks, so now already he is... He has clarity, he has peace of mind. And that's what it says, Shneimar, Ish Navuv Yilaviv, a person who's empty, Navuv is halul, like hollow, his stomach is empty, so therefore he has many hearts. Many hearts meaning he cannot make a decision. He doesn't know which way to go. Now, how do you know the word Navuv is hollow? Because while in Luchot it says Levuv Luchot, or Nevuv Luchot, which is hollow. So therefore, when the guy's hollow, he has many, many opinions, many levavot. Once a person eats, his mind is set, and he can make a decision. You eat before you make a decision. So his mind is at ease. Amar Avuna Bered Rav Yoshua, and Agil B'Yayin, a person that drinks wine, Afidu Libo Atum Kibtula, even if his heart is closed, like a Bitula, like a virgin that she's closed, Yayin Mefakeho, the wine opens him up. The wine opens up his mind to think. Shen Emar V'Tirosh Yenovev Bitulot, which means, if a person has a heart that's like a Bitula, the wine makes it hollow. The wine opens it up, which means wine is good in that case. It gives a person clarity. Comes the Gemara and continues. Okay. Amar Ravuna Bered Rabbi Yoshua. Peshita, it goes without saying. Helek Bechor Vehelek Pashut Yehavinan Le Echad Mitzra. Rashi. Peshita. Helek Bechor Vehelek Pashut. Now we know Bechor gets double portion. A Pashut is a regular brother. He just gets a regular single portion. Rashi. Shne Halakin Shabechon Notel. Echad Mishum Bechora. One is because he's the Bechor. Ve'achad mishum peshidut, and when he gets because he just sees a regular brother, so he gets a double portion. Yavina le echad metzra zu etzel zu. Remember we learned in Baba Metzia the law of bar metzra that normally you try to give fields to one person that are next to each other. For example, when he's buying a field, right? So you give it to the next door neighbor first rights because it's advantageous to him. Similarly, when you're splitting up a yirusha, the Bechor gets two fields, you give him those two fields that are next to each other. The law of Matzah applies to Shisharish, Neim, Al Kohen. Because that's all considered like one Chedek. Both those fields considered as Chedek, therefore you make sure that they are next to each other. And that's Pashut. The Gemara's question is, Yavam, Mai. What about a Yavam? Now what's the law of Yavam? You have a guy that was married, he died. His brother, it's a mitzvah to marry the sister-in-law. Now the law is that he now gets the inheritance of the Yavam as well. So he's getting a double inheritance. He's getting his inheritance plus the inheritance of his brother. So therefore, it's like a Bechor that he's getting two Halakim. Look at that. She Yavam Mai. Hamiyabim et ishto et ishtahiv dekam tahtav lenahala. He takes his stead in the inheritance. Venotel shne Halakim. Mai. מי מצא אמרי לה, הועיל מכוח הרינה כעתה לא יעבור לניה לאחד מצרה, זו אצל זו. תקובי, תמסן, you're not getting it from your rights, you're getting it because you're getting it from the brother that deceased. We don't have to give you a field that's next to each other. אילב מעליתה גבם מדמי, אלא שפייס. Meaning you want an extra advantage to have the field next to each other, the other brother can tell him, listen, pay me a little premium, and we'll give you the fields next to each other. Or do you say no? Bottom line, since he's taking the place of the brother, and therefore, and Torah is giving him rights like he is a Bechor, and therefore, he gets to get the fields as one next to each other. Amar Abaye, he. It's the same law as a Bechor. My Tama, what's the reason? Bechor Karya Rahmana. The Torah refers to the Yabam as a Bechor. Look at Rashi. Actually, before we go to Rashi, right? Dinuk bechor. My tama bechor kai rachmana. Pasuk kozum bechor because it says v'haya bechor asher teled. To appreciate this proof over here, you have to know the pasuk. It says in the pasuk by Yabam. says, Yivama yavo aleha, let the Yavam have go with his sister-in-law. Then it says, Vaya bechor, and the firstborn child that they will have will be after the deceased. That's a simple pshat in the pasuk. But from this pasuk we learn that the oldest of the brothers has first rights to make a yibum. Vaya bechor, it's going on the brother. So you see the brother that makes the yibum, the Torah calls him a bechor. Even he's not necessarily a bechor, he's the oldest of the brother. But from the fact that the Torah calls him bechor, he's a din of a bechor. And just like a bechor, when he gets inheritance, you give him the field next to each other. So to Riyabam, he's coming from the other brother that died, and he's called the bechor himself. Therefore he gets both. Rava Amar Amar Kera, Vehaya bechor, Havayato ke bechor, Ve'en halukato ke bechor. Oh, Rava argues. He says, Vehaya a bechor. That she says, "Biyabam kamishtai." The mitzvah begadol liyabim says it's a mitzvah for the gadol to make a yibum, like we just learned. Asher teled, it says, and that will be born prat la'ilonit, which means you only make yibum on a lady that's fertile that can have children. Asher teled. V'akim midrash kana yibamai yavo aleha v'yab bechor ezem na yibimim yavo aleha bechor asher teled v'chon sheyibama bat veladot, she's able to have children. Okay, good. So, he's like a Bechor in the sense that what? That he gets two halakim. However, but he doesn't divide it like a Bechor. He is like a Bechor. You get two halakim, but you're not a Bechor. In the sense that what? You don't get them together, which means if you want to get the fields together, the other brother can say, I'll charge you a premium for that advantage. So, a machlok between Abayin and Abba, does a Yavam get the advantage of a regular bechor that have the two fields together? Hahu de zavan ara amitzra debe nashia. What happened? He bought a field next to his father. Ben Asher's father. He bought a field next to his father's fields. Now what happened? Now his father died. So now they're dividing the lands. Well, since he bought a field there, he wants the father's field that's next to his. Kika palgu, when they were dividing the inheritance, ambale peligu the amitzrai. I want you to divide the land next to my border, next to the land that I bought. Amar Rava kegon ze kofin al midat sedom. Rava says in this case over here, even though it's not the regular din of bar mitzra, but you force them to come to agreement to give him the field that's next to his property, because otherwise you act like the people of Sedom. In the sense that what? What is the other guy? Okay, you're going to get a field, and you're going to get a field. So give him the field that's advantageous to him. This guy's benefiting, and this guy's not losing out. Therefore, to spite and not give him that field, like people, I thought the people have said, no. Why? Just to hurt the guy for no reason? In that case, over there, we say, you know what? Give him the field that he wants. Because you're not going to lose out on it. You'll get your field regardless. So again, what I says, Matkifa Rav Yosef, he says, Amri le achi, Ma'alina le elavai ki nechse debe bar marion. Oh, look at Rashi. Rashi says, Amar achi ma'alina le elavai. Lanu hi mishubati karagotav shal b'nei marion. The other brother comes along and says, no, that field, we love that field. That field to us is like the fields of bar marion. And he had very good fields. Shayu me'olot. Which means, could be one field is more fertile or more blessed or more good luck. One of the other brothers can come along and say, no, why should you get that field? This field to us is very special, like the fields of Bar Marion that are very fertile and very blessed. And therefore, you can block it. Therefore, it's not automatic that you give it to the brother that bought the field. The other brothers can come along and have a claim. Vilcheta, Kerab Yosef. And now, kind of these faults of Yosef. It's not such a simple Zenineb is a lo hasid. I'm chaser. That field over there is very advantageous to me. So therefore, he can argue. Right? Comes again when I continues. Again, because could be more rain on that field and things like that. So therefore, we're going to lose.
But that's not the case.
No, they can claim that. Lose. They can claim that.
But the first part of it was saying that there's no...
What's the difference? You're right. What's the difference? But if they can come along and say no.
There's a difference.
No, but it's not evident. It's not evident. They can come along and say, maybe this field's going to rain more on it. Amazing. And to this field over here, it could be like the field of Bar Marion that were very Meshuvah.
There's no facts.
Yeah. We want to hold our rights. Therefore, we take a lottery. Split it up according to the lottery, like a regular like a regular Yerusha. Okay? Which is talking about, obviously, a field that sustains itself from rain. So they can come along and say, hey, well, why are you taking that field? Maybe that field's going to get more rain than the other fields. Let's split it up accordingly. Okay, next story. You have two brothers. They inherited the fields. Each one has their own yeor. Yeor is like a, what do you call it, a river or a pond that runs through the field. Okay, irrigation. We'll call it an irrigation system that's drawn from the yeor, from the water. Now one of the brothers bought a property before the father died. He bought a property and he wants to take the field that's next to him. Same story, but now with his water, irrigation story over here. Again, you have a big river, and the river draws into the fields and irrigates them. This brother bought a field next to his inheritance. Now comes the idea, I want the field next to mine. So Gemara says, Rava says, this is Midat Sodom. What do you care? This guy's a benefit because this is next to his field already. You don't lose on it. You'll get another field. So therefore, you force it. You force it. Otherwise, it's acting like the people of Sodom. Where Stam, you're just punishing a person without any benefit. You force the halakha. They must give it to him. So Chazal Gevuran says, because basically the Yeor is going to feed into both fields. So therefore, he's not going to lose out. So what do you care? Give the guy what he wants. But if not of Yosef, no. Zemin dehai midvil, dehai lo midvil. Which means, sometimes, one Yeor is going to be, one area is going to be fertile, where there's going to be enough water where you're able to draw from, and the other side is not going to be enough water, and it's going to dry out. And therefore, the other brother come along and say, hey, what do you mean? So let's split it up equally. I don't want to take this field. Maybe my side's going to dry up. And therefore, I'm not giving it to you. Or give me money. You want to have that field? Pay me a premium and I'll give it to you. Look at Rashi. Hai midvil v'alo midvil. Derech ha-yeorim le-yabesh. Sometimes the yeor, that's the water source, dries up. Kishenaha nemshachim memenu. Mitma'ayet tefamim. Sheze yabesh v'ze enuim. Sometimes one side dries up, one side doesn't dry up. Ve'omer lo, tol ad kecha b'shtehem. Te'la midat sedomi. It's not midat sedomi. Midat Sedom means where I'm spiting you even though I have no benefit. Here I have a benefit. I'm concerned that maybe my side's going to dry up, and therefore let's split it up equally, or give me a premium for that area that you want. Kam velcheta kerav Yosef. The Gemara says, Halakha indeed follows Rav Yosef on that one. Tarte al ata. Okay, two fields. Okay, ahad nagra. Again, it has an equal yeor that they share. Okay? And again, one of the brothers wanted a field next to his inheritance. Okay, so now he wants to inherit the field that's next to his field that he bought. Amar of Yosef, he goes, kofin al midat sedom. In this case over here, it's really equal. You have a nahal meshutaf, a river that's shared, that's equal, and not one is not more blessed than the other. It's totally equal. So therefore, he says you could force them to what? Give him the field that's next to the one that he bought. But Kifla Baye, Matsi Amar, the other brother could say, Ba'ina de Apish Arisi. He could say that what? I want you to have two fields surrounding mine. I don't want you to have two fields next to each other. I want you to have one on one side and one on the other side, and my field will be on the middle. What's the first brother trying to do? Give me the field next to mine that I bought already. No, I want to give you a field on the other side. Now, why would he want that? Ba'ina da'afish arisi. Protection. Right? It'll be protected. Which means, basically the rule is that whenever a guy has an advantage, you can't force him to give him the field.
It's a higher extra share ground, because they're not together.
Right, his field will be protected. So, ba'ina de afish arisi. What, at a higher, more sharecroppers?
Right, increase number of sharecroppers.
Right.
So my fields will be very protected.
Correct. You're going to have to hire more sharecroppers. Yeah. Right. Because I guess if they're close to each other, you can hire less.
Right. Right.
But if they're separated from each other, he's going to have to hire more. His field's in the middle. I can protect. Which means, basically, I have an advantage. You can't force me to give you that field. Belchetak, Rav Yosef, Afushe Arise, Lav Miltahi. Oh, the Gemara over here rules the opposite. Here we go like Rav Yosef. You can force the other brother to give him the field that he wants. Why? Because that's not a claim. You can't give a guy, yeah, I want you to hire more workers so my field is more protected. That's not considered a legitimate claim. Look at Rashi in the bottom. Tov li shiyeh lecha shte sadot. Achat mikan v'achat mikan. Right? It's beneficial for me if you would have one field on one side, one field on the other side. V'achat li be'emsa, mine in the middle. Kedesh shetarbe lecha, receive, she'll have more sharecroppers. V'tiyeh sadeh li mishtamirit yefeh. My field will be protected well. Gemara, that's not a claim. Chamsi Gemara says further. Last case of these stories. Had gisa v'had, had gisa nagra, v'had gisa nahara. Palgin la bekanazol. Okay, let's get the picture over here. The picture right over here is on the bottom. You see, you have, before you get to the division over here, you have two fields. Okay? On one field, let's say, on the top of the field, on the north side, you have a nahal, a river. And on the east side, let's say, you have a nahar. Two bodies of water. That's basically the thing over here. Running, one is north-south, and one is running east-west. Okay, on the fields. Okay, look at Rashi. She tells you exactly that. Top Rashi. Stesh shne achim. Shesh nahar al pene mizrach. The nahar is on the east side of it. V'nagar al pene safona. And the river, I guess we're going to call one a stream, one a river, is two bodies of water. Is one running on the north side. Okay. Now, how do you divide this? Okay, so look at Rashi. Palgele bekarnazol. Basically, the rule, the way it's going to be is, you make a diagonal line across the field. You make two diagonal lines, actually, until you divide it into eight equal parts. You're going to just split it across, right? Like you see in the picture over there in Siyud Aleph. You see what you're doing? You're just drawing diagonal lines across, and then one down the middle, and then one down the center. Okay, divide the field into eight equal parts, so everybody gets a field on the Nahar side, and they get equal fields on the Nahal side. That's basically what we're trying to do. Because any other division is not going to be fair. Look at the next picture. Let's say you just split it down the middle. You draw, let's say, a vertical line down the middle. That's not going to be fair, because one guy's getting the whole Nahar. Right, the guy on the east side, you're giving him the whole part of the Nahal on the top, and the other guy on the left side, on the west, he's not getting any Nahal benefits. That's not good. Now, if you draw a horizontal line, also it's not going to be good, because one guy is getting the full Nahal on top, and the guy on the bottom, he doesn't get any Nahal rights. So the only way to make it fair that the brothers will benefit both from Nahal and both from the Nahal is to draw this. What the Gemara refers is karna zol. Karna is you go to the corner and you draw it down. Okay? That's the way they call it. Okay, look at the top Rashi. Second Rashi. Palgele bekarna zol. Lefisha nahar tov mena nagar. Oh, that's the rule. The river is better than the nahal. Okay? Just accept that. Vasamuk lemaim tov mena nahal. Closer to the water is better. Now, if you're going to divide it from the north, nimsa kol nahar leechad. Exactly, it's all equidistant from each other. Everybody has the same rights to the Nahar and to the Nahal, and everything is fine. Okay, Baruch Adonai L'Olam, Amen.